1, 2.
Welcome to Two for the Road, movies with Matt and Adam.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Adam. We're a normally weekly movie pairing podcast where we will pick a theme, recommend a movie to the other guy he's not seen based on the theme, watch, and discuss.
Yep. We have a 25-year age difference, so we have different point of view with movies, and sorry about last week, but life happens sometimes.
Yeah, probably going to happen next week, too.
Right.
So deal with it, people. Yeah, so...
What's this, cat and mouse, or is that what our theme, kind of loosely?
I think it makes sense.
Yeah.
There's a lot of chasing happening this week.
In both movies.
Lots of chasing.
Our first movie is The French Connection. Friedkin was the director, one of our show's favorite directors, and it won Best Picture, I believe.
Did it?
Yeah, I think so.
That, oh my God, talk about something that could never happen today.
No, I mean, the movie could never get made today, in its form now.
Well, why? What do you think? What do you think is the
language.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's a 1960s cop, right? This was movies from 71. How old was Hackman in this?
He looks old already, doesn't he?
He's one of those dudes who's
he's
just
still
like...
alive, but he's he does.
I mean, he's alive, but he's been out of the spotlight. I assume he's, you know, not in his, you know, he's probably doing the Jack Nicholson thing. He's just going away, and you have a good memory of him, right?
Yep. This film won 7 Academy Awards.
Oh my God. Well, okay, I need to know what it was up against because, I mean. I can't imagine this movie having that much of a broad appeal. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Now it's like, if you want to win the Oscar, it's got to tug at the heartstrings. Like the one that just won this year. It's like, it's about like the children of deaf adults. It's like, okay, that's like a very specific, like, a group of people who have a struggle that has never been spotlighted.
Right,
you know,
it's like,
but this movie, it's like a bunch of fucking dickhead cops and there's a French drug dealer. And mayhem. You know what I mean?
Like, lots of mayhem.
There's not really, like, there's no, like, redemption. There's not a lot of heart to it,
No. I mean, there's no heart to it.
Yeah.
You know? His character, Popeye Doyle, really was a bastard, you know. I think what spotlights both of our films this week is incompetence in the police forces.
Yes, that is another running theme. in both movies, like, if you had just done that, none of this would have happened.
Just that one little simple thing.
Especially the second one. It's like, wow, it won 7 awards.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That blows my mind.
Let's see. I'll tell you who it was up against. I think Hackman won. Yeah, Hackman won. Down here. Friedkin won for director. Nominees, Clockwork Orange, we love.
Wow. Mm-hmm. This movie is not better than Clockwork Orange.
No, but even as bad... It had a broader appeal than a Clockwork Orange.
No, 100%. I'm just like kind of surprised that they're both nominated. Yeah. What the hell was going on in 1971?
It was a change, I think. It was a change of what was going on in motion pictures. And that started it, you know, with Easy Rider and all those. This is not something that would have won. It wouldn't even been nominated 10 years earlier.
So the Academy used to be cool, is what you're telling me.
They tried to be cool. I mean, Fiddler on the Roof was another one. You know, Last Picture Show, which I love.
Holy what a year!
Yeah, what a year! And Nicholas and Alexandra. So
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, that's
the one that would have won this year, probably.
Probably, yeah, yeah. So,
holy crap!
Yeah,
Last Picture Show, Clockwork Orange, in this movie, like three very different movies, but also three very unconventional movies, like as far as like how they, you know, tell a story.
Right.
Jeez,
right? So, Hackman won for Best Actor against Peter Finch in Sunday Bloody Sunday. Walter Matthau and Koch, George C. Scott in The Hospital, which I liked, and Topol, the Fiddler on the Roof. He's a,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So he didn't. Peter Finch eventually won for Network.
Hmm.
Post after he died. Hmm. But yeah, I mean that's. I mean Roy Scheider was nominated for best. Yeah.
The hell did he do?
He didn't do anything. You know what? Yeah. He was sort of. Kind of laughing a lot in this movie. Did you notice that? It was shit with, you know, that Popeye Doyle would say. He'd kind of turn away and just start kind of smirking.
You think he was breaking character? You mean?
Well, no. Well, it could have been, but it was that one line. You ever pick toes in Poughkeepsie? Mm-hmm. And he kept asking people that, and it just cracked Scheider up or his character up. He was always laughing about. But yeah, it was a. I mean, the next year, The Godfather won, I think. So,
but The Godfather is like this epic,
right.
Sprawling thing. I mean, this movie—I don't even know how long it takes place over. They reference like you've been doing this for weeks, but
right.
it seemed like it was just like a long week of like investigation.
Yeah, there's
right?
no real say. Oh boy, we've been doing this for 6 months, mm-hmm. you know. But yeah, and it seemed to lose time there. There was one reference. I can't remember what it was. It was like, it just seemed like, you know, somebody. The guy that when the drug dealer shows up, he says, "You know, we got to do it by the end of the week." And it seems like eternity after that.
Because I thought the police chief made a comment like, "You've been doing this for how? Like, you've been wasting our time for so many. I thought it was months or something that he said
that. Yeah." But I guess it was just on this case, trying to figure it, the lead up to finding out what was going on, I think, was what they were doing. So, but
possibly,
yeah,
it was just like sloppy writing and a mistake in editing. I mean, it doesn't matter, right?
Right. No.
All right, you want to get into the
sure?
So, yeah, so this follows Popeye Doyle, which Popeyes was named after, apparently, which we learned. I don't know, a few months ago, I learned it for the first time.
Yeah, I don't know why. named Popeye.
Yeah, so I knew that before I watched this movie. So I was like, oh, this guy's got to love fried chicken or something. Mm-hmm. No, it never comes up.
No.
So yeah, this couple of street level.
It's based on a true story. Let's get that out of the way. Yeah. Street level cops.
Street level cops. They kind of stumble across this. They're out drinking
right.
after work. One guy's doing it reluctantly just to like appease his, I guess, sort of new partner.
Mm-hmm.
Who's Gene Hackman, who's kind of a obnoxious New York City cop.
Right.
Right.
He flaunted his power a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, and he and Scheider both did when they go into bars and rouse people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Assholes, but they get the job done.
Right.
So they're at the bar and they kind of like look at this guy. They're like, this guy looks shady. We're going to follow him. Tail him and sort of like
the guy's spending a lot of money. He's sitting with some hood looking guys, some mafia looking dudes,
some young toughs,
and they don't know who he is. So who is this guy? Mm-hmm. He's got a blonde with him, and
right, they're like, those are the mafia guys that we know.
Right,
who's this new guy?
Yeah, that's it's a good question.
Yeah,
who is this guy? Right. We don't know him.
Right,
you know,
he's not in the Rolodex. We got to go figure this guy out.
And they follow him all night.
Mm-hmm.
And it never gets seen, never get made.
That was a little bit frustrating. It's like, come on, no one's looking around. But that was another thing that this movie did well was like, I appreciate movies that show like the boredom of war.
Right.
Or like the boredom of police work where like most of it is just like trying to stay awake and nothing happens.
Right.
And then you have to be totally alert when it's chaos.
Right.
So it's like, that's a pretty tough job.
And at times there was not a lot of dialogue. It was just kind of sitting and looking and waiting and, you know, which I like, you know.
Yeah, I like it too. Yeah. I think Friedkin is really great. I mean, especially Sorcerer is probably like the best example of this. Like the first 5 minutes of Sorcerer. Yeah. You like it's like a fucking novel, you know what
right,
I mean? It's
like
it just you have a really clear idea of like what's happening and who these people are, who all the players are, and the same thing with this one. There's a lot of like just like following,
yep,
and just you know just people walking around looking in windows, looking around, you know, like, but it just, it was engaging.
It was interesting, very interesting, the way they would, you know, they would lose somebody, they, you know, try to find them and all that stuff. And then you had different kinds of chases. You had on foot, then you had in car, you know, on a train. So it was a lot of, well, cat and mouse.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
so they figure out this guy, they figure something's going on with him, so they sit on him. It's because the way this worked, like, I watched this over a week ago. I don't have any notes. My details are not totally fresh. Somehow, I guess they're busting people. They're going to, like, street level stuff, and they somehow stumble onto, there's a big drug deal going down.
Yeah, the rumor is nobody has any heroin. The heroin's dried up. They can't find any, you know. But the big rumor is that there it'll be around soon. I don't know who's spreading that, you know. But
it's in the heroin newsletter.
Yes,
it's
coming soon. I guess so. But yeah, it's like, yeah, it's coming. Nobody knows who it is, what's going on. So
yeah, who is the Paul Revere of heroin? Like, the heroin's coming. Just sit tight. So then they notice this. I guess I can say, because the movie said, I don't know if it's like a slur. This frog.
Yeah, it is a slur.
What does it mean? Like
Frenchman.
I know, but like,
what? I don't know.
Like, what's the connect? I don't understand. Never. Frog legs is the only thing I can think
must
of.
Must be. I don't know. Yeah, they eat frog legs.
Okay. I'm sure they say frog, bad stuff about
frog
us.
Eaters. Yeah. You know, but yeah, they don't skimp on the derogatory terms in this.
No. It's, but I mean, that's how that dude talks.
That's 1970s New York City, though. Or 60s, whenever it was. I think it was in the 60s. You know, that's the way it was. So these guys are real. These guys are for real. They're racist. They're, you know, misogynist. They're everything. They're cops, good and bad cops, you know?
Yes.
So
willing to put their life on the line for, right, yeah, for justice, but also dickheads.
Yeah.
Yeah. People are complicated. So then they kind of figure out, like, this, these French guys have something to do with it. In the, oh, I forgot, the movie opens with, oh, the movie opens, I forgot about this part. We have this really great opening scene of this guy, and you think that he's going to be some major player,
yeah,
and he's walking around, and it looks like this big shot in, like, the streets of Paris, and he turns a corner, gets gunned down, and gets his baguette stolen.
I love that. The guy grabs his baguette,
yeah,
cuts up, or pulls off a big hunk of it and drops it, yeah,
and
starts eating it.
And so then we're introduced to this sort of, like, I guess, rich businessman. We don't really know.
Well, he's actually a former dock worker who has worked his way up into smuggling.
Okay.
So, I mean, he talked about that when he was on the docks himself. So, but now he's rich and he's powerful, and he's going to smuggle some heroin.
And he's got this scheme. He's roping this actor into it. This French actor shooting a movie or scouting a movie in America. I think
the actor's no one's broke. He needs money. Yep. So that's who you hit up.
So we got a French actor. We got a French businessman. And we have an assassin.
Right.
Essentially.
Yeah, the three of them. And a big car. Mm-hmm. Which is what they smuggle the drugs in. Mm-hmm.
So Papa Doyle and Roy Scheider are onto him, and they're following him around, but they get made. So then we get a couple of really great scenes of Gene Hackman trying to follow this dude,
yeah,
without being seen.
That one on the train was really good.
Yeah,
yeah, and it's quiet. There's no dialogue or very little dialogue.
And you think the French guy knows what's going on, but you're not quite sure. And then at the end, it's like, okay, he knows.
Yeah, he knows exactly what's going on. So, yeah. And then, you know, there's an attempt on Popeye's life by the assassin. Popeye chases the assassin, another great chase scene, and ends up shooting him in the back.
Yeah, so even before that, we got a bunch of civilians getting gunned down. Like in the the assassination attempt.
Yeah,
I don't think that would make it into a modern movie.
No.
Just like,
and it wouldn't be made in a modern movie, and then nothing is said about it.
Right.
It's like other people get killed in this movie, and it's not a big deal.
I think a woman's gunned down and, like, her baby carriage is just left there. It's like, oh my God.
Imagine the headlines in the, you know, in the Post next day or the Daily News or something. Yeah.
Yeah, so then he chases that guy. You're talking about that's the chase where he's in the car, the guy's on the subway. Mm-hmm. God, what a great sequence.
That was tremendous.
All the way up to the guy running up to the front of the car and telling the subway conductor, don't stop. Like, it's so funny. Like, it never occurred to me that they could just not stop. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you always take it for, I always thought that was like automatic somehow, but.
I imagine it's changed now.
Probably.
But then, you know, back then it was like, don't stop. And he doesn't.
And then the passengers kind of confront him. Mm-hmm. And you think like, oh, of course, there's more of them than him. He shoots one, they run.
Yeah, of course. Why not? He's already killed a cop.
Yeah.
He already killed a cop on the train. So, mm-hmm. you know, and then this other guy seems to think he can do something. Just put the gun down, you know.
Right.
Yeah, you're dead.
Yeah, he's dead.
Yeah.
And we get this awesome scene of Hackman driving through the city. And like I guess they had like the camera on the front of the car. So mm-hmm. like you see like the car's perspective, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was wild. He's getting hit by other cars. He's following. He can see the train. Mm-hmm. He's following it all the way. You know, he's underneath it sometimes. And mm-hmm. he, you know, it's kind of cool. That was a great chase scene. And that was right after the one. Have you ever seen Bullet?
No.
Oh, yeah. We should watch that sometime. Because that's Steve McQueen. He had a chase scene in San Francisco. So that was a big thing. It was right after Bullet. But it was different than Bullet. Because it was, you know, it's similar but different. So they were both really good. So now chase scenes we see, you and I both.
Fast forward. Because nothing happens.
No.
It's like, it's just okay. Just get to wherever you're going to get. And then, you know.
Well, in this scene, he actually stops at the next. He beats the train to the next station. Mm-hmm. Gets out of the car, running up. And he realizes, didn't stop. So he has to run back down. And he's got this car that's already damaged.
Right.
You know, so he has to get back in and start hauling ass again. So.
Well, the good thing about this chase scene is that. Or I guess I'll say that the reason I don't like many other chase scenes is because, like, it doesn't really move the plot forward. Doesn't tell me anything about the character. Just it could be just removed, you know.
Right.
But this one, as you said, he's running up the stairs. You can see his frustration building. Plus, he's just an out of shape, wheezy cop, right? Yeah. Actually, he's in pretty good shape because he's hoofing it a lot in this mm-hmm. movie. And you know, like you said, once he notices the train didn't stop, the whole train's in danger. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which explains more his justification of shooting the guy, which I guess was like a critical point after the movie was released. Like, oh, how would he do that?
Well, the guy could get back on the train.
Right.
And do the same thing. So.
And I think the director's response was the real person who wrote the book was mm-hmm. on set. Mm-hmm. And that's what he would have done.
Yeah.
So there you go. So the assassin's killed. We're still trying to figure out what's going on with the lower level mafia guy. What's his connection? Mm-hmm. They're tailing him. The car's dropped off. They think someone's going to pick it up. They can't figure out what's going on because no one's picking it up, right?
Mm, right.
And this one car circling the block. Finally, they stop. They get out. But they're just some young hoods going to take off the tires or whatever, right?
Right.
So it's like a nothing. But Hackman's like, no. So their cover's blown, right? Like,
I was thrown off at that scene. Mm-hmm. Because I thought the car that they were driving was the one that the Frenchman bought at the auction. Mm-hmm. I thought it was the same car. So what I figured was the heroin is in that car now, and he wants these guys to get arrested. He wants the car the big car to be searched. Nothing's found. The other car, because it was during a criminal activity, it'd be put in a pound. So mm-hmm. there he can buy it again, mm-hmm. and then just. Take off with it. That's what I thought, but I was wrong.
And you've already seen the movie, so
I haven't seen it since the '70s, though.
Yeah. And so then they had this really long, there's these like odd long scenes of them like taking apart the car, for example.
Right.
And like another scene of these guys eating in a restaurant. It's like, why is this scene 6 minutes? It could be 35 seconds.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like
yeah. That was a little late.
But anyway, they just rip it apart, and.
I think that part of that was like, okay, you can almost see them rip everything out of that car. You mm-hmm. know, just have a 30-second thing where you get to, you know, throw into it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you literally see them ripping up the rugs and stuff like that. And You know, and then Scheider comes up with the idea. How much does this thing weigh?
Yeah.
It's not supposed to weigh that much.
Right.
So that's after, this is after they've given up. Mm-hmm. And Doyle is going, I know it's in there somewhere. So they do find it in the door or something.
And then the guy who reports like, I've done everything except take apart this. Like, why don't you do that one last thing, right? It's like, right. And here's another question. How do they put it back together?
That's what, and it's like within hours, that thing is completely put back together.
Because they weren't like ripping it apart with care.
No, no.
You know what I mean? It was like demolition. Mm-hmm. So they find the drugs, put it back together as a, like a way to like plan, like kind of like entrap the guys, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, actor is there, picks up his car, sent on his way. They do the drug deal, coming out.
Yeah, it's on an island, mm-hmm. some trash island that
trash island
New York City had. I don't know. It was in a the only way over to the island was a bridge.
They're coming over on the bridge. They see the cops. Not very good police work.
Again.
Didn't secure the bridge.
Incompetence.
So they just
nobody on the other side of the bridge to, so they don't get off.
Right. So yeah. They just turn around, drive back to their compound. It's a massive shootout.
Right, right.
A lot of cops going down, a lot of mafia guys going down.
Our original guy gets shot. The guy that they followed originally to come up, you know.
Yep.
And he gets shot. Tony LoBianca.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we got Popeye Doyle. He's chasing his man who's eluded him mm-hmm. many times mm-hmm. throughout the movie. Several times he's just lost him. And so he's seeing him. There's like, he thinks he sees in the shadow. And then he shoots
another cop.
Yep. Not super remorseful about that.
And it's because, and he had already shot another cop. He was known for killing another cop or getting another cop killed or something. Mm-hmm. So he didn't go over very well, I guess.
Right. Killed that guy, I guess. I don't know if he killed him or just shot him, but definitely shot him.
I think he killed him. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then off camera, we hear a bang and credits. Not credits, we get like the recap of what happened, right?
Yeah, and the French guy they never caught. And that's real life. They never caught him. How he got off that island, I have no idea.
He's a slippery bastard.
He is.
So yeah, he's fine. I guess he's off in France, probably lived the rest of his life.
Popeye and his partner gets transferred to another unit. One where they're not allowed to have guns.
Right. One where you have a lot of time to write a book.
Right, right. Yeah.
So. And none of the criminals really faced anything serious.
No. The lawyer who put it all together, he got off.
Yep.
Not enough evidence. The woman who was the first guy's wife, she was in on it, but she got probation.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, and the French guy had 3 years, I think, in federal penitentiary, the actor. Mm-hmm. Oh, he was the only one who really went to jail. The assassin got killed. So,
right.
Yeah, so.
Bummer for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, no justice. No. See, I was thinking that they were going to end it with these, like, the shot off camera mm-hmm. and leave the audience to wonder, like, who shot who? Did he actually get him?
Right.
But I guess if it's based on a true story, that doesn't quite work out.
Yeah, and that's the end. And there is a French Connection, too. I've never watched it.
What?
I refuse to watch it. I think Scheider gets killed in that one. I don't know.
Is it the same people?
I think so.
Wow. That's a very unnecessary sequel.
Right. Like, maybe it's after they're after the French guy again. I don't know. Like I said, I've never seen it. He is in it because Fernando Rey is in it.
Yeah, our boy from the Discreet Charm of the
Bourgeoisie.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. He was accidentally cast in this movie.
He was accidentally cast?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Friedkin originally, I have this up somewhere. Casting. The casting of Fernando Rey as the main French heroin smuggler, Alan Charnier, he's referred to the whole film as Frog One, resulted in from his mistaken identity. Friedkin had seen Louis Bunuel's 67 French film Belle du Jour with Catherine Deneuve and had been impressed with the performance of Francisco Rabal. He was in that monster movie about the seaside town.
Oh, Dagon?
Yeah, he was in Dagon. All right. He was the French guy, the older guy.
All right.
Yeah, that's who that was. So anyways.
Oh, he was the old drunk in Dagon. He was the old drunk. The only like, human left in the town.
Right, okay. Right. Yeah, he was the old drunk. Howard did not know his name. I remember only that he was a Spanish actor. So Fernando Rey and him are both Spanish actors. So he asked his casting director to find the actor, and the casting director instead of contacted Rey, a Spanish actor who appeared in several other films directed by Buñuel. After Rabal was finally reached, they discovered he spoke neither French nor English. And Rey was kept in the film. After screening the final cut, Rey's French was deemed unacceptable by filmmakers. They decided to dub his French while preserving his English dialogue.
Wow.
I didn't. Couldn't tell.
I couldn't tell either. I thought he was a native French speaker based on the discreet trauma of the bourgeoisie. Yeah.
he was in a lot of French films. But
yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
So a couple other things, like loose ends here. So Hackman.
Mm-hmm.
I mean...
I think this is his best performance.
I mean, I was like looking at his run, like,
yeah. Oh, the 70s run?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like it's funny cuz like I know Hackman as like an older I know Hackman from the 90s essentially, right. You know what I mean? And it's hard to think of him as even being a little bit young, which he is in this a little bit, but he's not super young.
Mm-hmm.
But damn, like what a run this dude had.
Right. Yeah, he was born in 1930.
Okay, so he's 92.
92 right now.
Damn, Hackman is 92?
Right.
Holy shit. Yeah, does Hackman make it out of 2022? Probably not.
Probably not. His last movie was 2006.
Yeah, it was like something like Moose.
Yeah, Mooseport or Moose, something.
Yeah.
The Welcome to Mooseport.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure he's like, that one's the one. Yeah. It's the last on the list.
I'm always shocked whenever I see how red his hair was, too. He had really red hair. I was kind of,
I always forget, like, how tall he is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, he's a tall dude.
Right.
Like, and I bet he's pretty intimidating. Like, yeah. It's like him just, like, walking in the room. Because he has, like, a presence to him where he just looks like,
right.
You know. And I'm getting this from, like, his younger movies. Like, mm-hmm. when I see him in the 90s, I never thought, like, oh, this dude's going to throw fists. But, like. In these earlier movies, like this, even the conversation where he's not like some badass, but like Scarecrow.
Yeah,
you know?
Scarecrow. Yeah.
And who's got a better coat and hat game than Gene Hackman?
Oh, man.
He had the best coats in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, they're just always awesome.
Somebody was dressing him, or maybe they're his own coats.
And they just fit.
Right, right.
And the thing they did in this movie, which I don't think happens enough, there's not a lot of, like, we don't get a lot of Doyle backstory at all.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the smart move was they went to his apartment.
Yeah.
And just seeing where he lived and how he lived for just a couple minutes, it's all
you need. Everything you need to know about him.
All you need to know.
Right.
That he's the kind of guy that pick up some woman and have her handcuff him to his bed, you know, like, also a great detail there.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, but I this is my favorite Hackman performance, I think. He's just...
Well, I mean, for me, I mean, nothing really is going to beat The Royal Tenenbaums.
Yeah.
Different movie, obviously.
Different movie, yeah.
I don't know that I have any other pressing... You have any other thoughts? Like,
No.
Who do you think stole it?
Hackman.
There's only like three people in this movie, right?
I think Friedkin stole it with his direction.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we always see New York. It looks as bad as it always does, but it was in a different way. I mean, with the long chase, you know, foot chase scenes and stuff, and then the car chase scene and stuff. I loved, as far as the actors go, I think Hackman did, but I think Friedkin really stole the show.
So you said Friedkin won an Academy. He won the best director or best picture?
Best director and best picture.
Damn.
Well, he doesn't. See, the director doesn't get the producer gets the best picture award.
That's stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. For some reason, I thought Friedkin was like this unsung hero. I thought he was like one of these guys who everyone respected but never won it.
Well, he didn't. He didn't want Gene Hackman.
Who did he want?
Paul Newman.
Oh, man.
No, yeah. He went, well, there was a list of people. He wanted Paul Newman. They couldn't afford him because he was the biggest star on the planet at the time. Or he wanted McQueen, but he said, I'm not going to do another cop movie after Bullet, mm-hmm. you know, which makes sense. But he wanted, there was all these people. Even, they even talked about Jimmy Breslin, who had never acted before. He was a writer. And he's got a lot of good stage presence, but is no, not as Popeye Doyle.
Okay, well, I guess that's why the producer gets the award, right?
Jackie Gleason. They were like,
Jackie Gleason? Yeah. Are we talking about the comedic actor, Jackie Gleason?
Well, he's also a really, he was also a good serious actor. Peter Boyle, he didn't want to do it because of the violence. Jackie Gleason, they finally got rid of, they said no to him because he was... He had a really bad box office flop a couple years before that. But, yeah, there were Charles Bronson.
Charles Bronson?
Yeah, Lee Marvin, James Caan, Robert Mitchum were also considered. They all turned it down.
Okay, James Caan.
Okay.
I can entertain that possibility.
That would have been, yeah, you, yeah.
Robert Mitchum?
Maybe a little
Does he have the pizzazz for it? I mean, at that time, would he have the quickness?
He was too old.
Yeah.
I think he couldn't have done the chasing down, you know, because he must have been in his 50s by or 40s.
I know this is a chase scene. Do we make this a lumbering scene?
Like, or Lee Marvin the same way, you know? Yeah. I don't think so. But they all turned it down. And Frank Freakin said he almost settled on Rod Taylor.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
He was in the Birds. He was he's just...
Who remembers the star of the Birds? The star of the Birds are the Birds. You know what I mean? Like, who the hell? I don't know who starred in the Birds.
Tippi Hedren and Rod Taylor. So anyways, but it finally went to Hackman, which I think it turned out pretty good.
Yeah, I would say so. I wonder, I mean, this has got to be like probably top three or four parts that he gets recognized for, right?
Yes.
I mean, I'm pretty sure he's wanted to be like, Popeye.
Yeah, Popeye. Yeah. If they ever see him, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Matt, you want to guess the scores here?
Sure.
Let me get ready. Freakin was nominated for The Exorcist, of course, but he didn't win. I forgot he did that. All right, IMDb, 120,000 people checking in.
I'm going to go... High 7.78.
You went a little high, 7.7. But I agree, 7.8.
That's about right.
7.7, 7.8.
Yeah, I think that's good.
Feels appropriate. Not quite in that 8 territory. Mm-hmm. It's not classic, but it is definitely right up there.
Right.
Moving on. Rotten Tomatoes. The tomato meter, 87 reviews.
I will say 90.
97.
Okay, well, that's pretty high.
Even with like some modern, I'm pretty sure there's some modern woke reviewers who are like, oh, the language.
Yeah, you can't say that. Yeah. And I bet you the other one is like 90.
Okay, hold on. I'll get to that in a second. Here's just some shitty reviews. Mm-hmm. Too much ado about drugs. Okay.
What?
Quite efficient, but pretty unremarkable.
Are these modern ones?
Yeah. I mean, these are like, this is the unremarkable one is from April 2021, Times UK.
Of course, it's 50 years old.
Yeah, 51 years
it's
old.
It's just different. It was a different age.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you said, what'd you say for the audience score? 25,000 people.
I'd go 90.
87.
Okay.
A little low,
I think.
I'm surprised. I mean, okay, so I was aware of this movie. Mm-hmm. I had no idea what it was about. It was like one of those things that was like always on TV as I was growing up. But like, the name is terrible.
Right.
The name doesn't mean anything until after you've watched the movie.
Yeah.
So I would never watch anything called The French Connection. I thought it was like a romantic something. I didn't know what it was. I'm like, okay, there's a connection in France.
And I'm not watching The French Dispatch either.
Yeah, no French. We love our French listeners. All right, Matt, you want to take a break and come back and talk about Chaser?
Yep.
All All right, we're back.
So, had a break.
So the next movie is 2008's The Chaser, straight out of South Korea, starring Kim Yoon Suk and Ha Jung Woo.
So Kim, we saw him in the Handmaid's Tale. Was that he was in that?
That is Ha Jung Woo.
Oh, that's Ha Jung Woo.
He was the
The killer, the criminal.
What movie are now you talking about?
Oh,
the movie that we watched this week, The Chaser.
Yeah,
He was the killer.
Okay.
In Handmaid's Tale, or Handmaiden.
Handmaiden.
He was the the young prince, count, or whatever he was called. Yeah.
I knew one of them was.
Yeah. So this is a pretty stylish thriller. Lots of chases. Yeah. Lots of. I mean, if someone says can you recommend a South Korean cop movie? It's like, here you go.
Yeah.
This has it all.
This has everything.
This has the action. This has the police beating on people.
beating on each other.
Yeah. As much as freaking made New York look grimy, I think this was also a pretty accurate representation of Seoul in 2008.
Okay.
Maybe it was supposed to take place earlier, because this was based loosely on a true story.
Okay.
Of this young guy who was a pretty prolific serial killer in South Korea.
Okay. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's also, I'm not sure if Memories of Murders is based on the same. There's South Korea doesn't have a ton of serial killers, but
they don't have a dozen John Wayne Gacy's.
No. But when they do, they make movies out of them. So Matt, what'd you think?
I liked it. I liked the main character because he was, he was an ex-cop. Now he's a pimp.
Mm-hmm.
He's not all that bright sometimes.
No.
And,
you can see why he wouldn't be a good fit for the police force.
Right. He's, he's kind of violent. He is violent, and he just gets pissed off real easy, But I liked him. I liked his character.
And he's got that why me attitude.
Right.
One of his girls doesn't want to show up. He's like, oh, what's wrong with her? another bad thing in my life, right?
Right. It's his third, the third girl of his disappears, and he still thinks they're being stolen. He has no idea what's going on.
Well, again, a serial killer is not the first thing you would think of.
Not in Korea.
Living in South Korea.
Yeah.
Another thing I liked about this movie, it showed prostitution's illegal in South Korea.
Yeah.
But when they're there's a lot of these little cards they pass out. People put them, they're all over cars. You can see them on the streets. You go into a bathroom, there's advertisements all over the place. So it's quote unquote illegal.
Illegal, but
so I thought that was
tolerated for some reason.
Yeah, I haven't been there in 7 years, but when I was there earlier, it's it's everywhere. And just are we all just not going to talk about this? it's pretty much everywhere. So this is a movie about as you said, a cop turned pimp. He's got a small time prostitute operation. He's got his one assistant,
Meathead,
who is even less bright.
Yes,
but has got some speed.
He's got some endurance too.
Yeah. So yeah. One of the earlier scenes,
he just does what he's told.
Yeah, one of the earlier scenes, we see him hoofing up some stairs and. I think he's doing it in flip-flops.
Yeah.
So it's one level of difficulty higher than normal.
Mm-hmm.
And he said the girl's missing. We see that this girl, so he's kind of trying to find a replacement girl, finds this girl who's got a cold, so she's not coming in.
Got a daughter, too.
Yeah, looks like a pretty severe cold, I would say.
Yes, I would not be the one to have sex with her.
Right! That's another thing, right? I mean, obviously that wasn't this guy's intent, even if it were, it's why or what's the appeal here?
Cough all over me, will you?
Yeah. It's pre-COVID. Yeah. And of course she has a daughter, right? That's the thing where it's we need to have that heart.
Yeah, if she was just one of the other prostitutes who disappeared, didn't have anybody. Mm-hmm. Nobody gives a thought about them. Mm-hmm. But this one has a daughter. And they don't know that at first, but.
And so we know that something's amiss, right? Mm-hmm. And we see her getting she kind of knows something's up, and he tells her, like, yeah, this guy, he keeps, I have his phone number written down, so as soon as you get to his house, text me the address.
Yeah.
Not a great plan.
No, the guy didn't have very good plans.
No, you're 100%. A lot of poor planning.
All his plans were just terrible.
Mm-hmm. So, of course, there's no internet and Wi-Fi doesn't work in the place. And I like that scene. There's a lot of suspense building.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, she stops and, you know, just the look of that place, right? Yeah. It's kind of an unusual place by Korean home standards. It's got, like, this gate and, like, a yard.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, not your typical
villa. And then you get inside, it's even a little weirder. It's mm-hmm. dark.
Mm-hmm.
But he seems very relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she says, I'm going to take a shower. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she starts noticing some things around the bathroom there and gets kind of freaked out. So then she says, I'm going to go. I forgot the condoms in the car. Okay. Gets to the door. Big padlock.
Yep. And then
she knows.
Yep. So then she gets tied up and he's trying. So the killer's got an interesting technique of killing. He has a, like an old, like
chisel,
like a chisel.
Yeah,
like,
that's what he uses.
I don't even know what a chisel's used for. Like, is it used in modern times?
You can split it. You can split wood with it. Those kind of things.
Okay. So he's got a chisel and hammer.
Or like he refers to when he's getting interviewed, he saw that's how they kill pigs or something.
Right.
So that's why he had some other technique before that didn't work very well.
Right. He's evolving.
Yeah.
So he's trying to chisel her, but she's a squirmer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, that's yeah. annoying, right?
Yeah.
So he's trying to chisel her, but he's missing, and she's squirming. Finally gets her.
Mm-hmm.
And then some church people show up, and then our what would you call it? Like, our comedy of errors, kind of, or maybe tragedy of errors, kind of start, yeah. right?
Right.
So the pimp is running around looking for him. He had to kill these two church people, so he's like getting rid of their car. They have a car accident.
The killer had to kill these people, not our hero or whatever, the right. pimp. But yeah, the killer. He's got to get rid of the car. They have an accident.
He realizes who the guy is, calls a cell phone. It rings.
Mm-hmm.
He tries to arrest him. They all get taken in.
Is there such a thing as a citizen's arrest? I think they do mention it later.
So yeah, anyway, they end up all in the police station, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
And the cops.
Yeah, there's this big chase running, and they beat him up, and they fight, and beats him up pretty good.
Right.
And handcuffs him, I guess. Yeah.
Right.
Brings him back to the scene of the accident.
And the cops are like, yeah. Why is he beaten to a pulp? then all of them at police station, cops are listening to the killer mm-hmm. as if he's the victim, because that's what it looks like, right?
Right.
And for some reason, he confesses to killing, right?
Right.
I think this is just to fuck with him.
Yeah.
So they have to take it seriously. They don't take it seriously at first. Then they start having to take it seriously because he keeps telling them more detail, right?
And the details he tells them are correct. Especially when they bring the special unit in to talk to them. So, yeah. That's stuff we didn't release kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but.
So, this is kind of an interesting movie because it's like it's a thriller, but the person who's being chased is already in custody for most of the movie.
Right.
The pimp cop is just running around trying to figure out, like, what's going on, because he still doesn't believe the guy. He doesn't believe the guy's a killer. He thinks he's just fucking with the cops.
Right.
So that they'll let him go, or they'll be like, okay, get out of here. So he's like visiting the person's family. He's like, you know, he's like going here and there trying to like piece it together. Mm-hmm. Like, what is the deal with this guy?
Right. And he still can't find out where the guy lived.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's looking for.
And then he gets mixed up with the daughter.
Mm-hmm.
He goes by Mijin's house. Daughter's there. Picks her up.
Scares the hell out of her. You know. Because he's not very nice.
No. And I wasn't, like, I personally could have done without the daughter in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that she really added much.
I don't know. I think we were supposed to see another side of the pimp, but to me, it just never really rang true. I totally agree with you. Especially for what happens later in the movie. You know, that in an American movie, she, you know, because she had the daughter, she would live.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
yeah, happy endings all around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, again, I watched this, I don't know, 10 days ago, so I'm trying to remember, like, the sequence. he's got a daughter, he's looking around. They all end up back at the police station again. Mm-hmm. He beats the hell out of the guy.
Right.
And that was, like, a bridge too far.
Right.
So now the prosecutor is
and
like...
And the cops are letting him. He's yeah. not even a cop anymore, but they let him go in there by himself. They're all sitting outside smoking. And, mm-hmm. you know,
like, they're all looking at each other like, are you going to do something?
I mean, how much beating can somebody take?
I don't know, but I will say this is like one of those rare Korean cop movies where like there are consequences to the beating.
Right. Yeah. But well, they're so bad at what they do, you know. So they eventually have to let this guy go because they don't have any evidence. You know, the only one, I mean, they believe he's, oh, the prosecutor makes him, the prosecutor sees him after he gets beat up.
Yep.
And says, you got to let him go.
What can I do, right?
Yeah.
And they even like cover him up mm-hmm. as they're like transporting him to like, nope, no one got beat here. He's yeah, just, yeah, yeah. He's just... So yeah, so the prosecutor's like, yeah, we got to let him go.
So he gets out. And in the meantime, back at his house, the prostitute
Mijin
has come. She's awake now. She's been knocked out, and she somehow gets out of her minds and gets out of the house and escapes, mm-hmm. and finds a store. That somebody called the cops. More incompetent police.
So our main dude is being transported from the police station. Like mm-hmm. he's with like maybe his old unit or
he's
friends.
He's been arrested.
He pulls quite the move, I think.
Yeah, that was a great
where
movie.
He's like asks for a cigarette and then he like kicks the guy in the front. He wrecks the car. He busts out of the van. He's fighting the guys off. There's one guy. He's just like,
give me the key. Right. The guy says, okay.
Yeah.
And he runs off.
And he just runs off. Yeah,
and he runs for hours.
Runs. Yeah. Hoofing it, right? So he's hoofing it. And then we got like this, the female cop who the killer was kind of messing with earlier.
And she's following the killer.
Yeah. Again, their interaction was, could have been more, a little bit more, I think.
Oh, yeah. It was really left. I mean, we only see her like outside the store because he goes into the store, the same store the prostitute's in to buy some cigarettes.
And so what does she do?
She's supposed to be following him. I mean, if he'd been in there that long.
Right.
Why aren't you going in there?
Right.
Or at least checking to see if he went out the back door.
Something.
Right. Are you I mean, every cop in this movie is pathetic.
Agreed. So as you said, so the killer's just walking free. He just thinks like, mm-hmm. like he doesn't know this girl's loose. He doesn't know that, you know, the other cop is kind of figuring out like his whole deal. And he's just walking home, just kind of like taking his time.
Goes to buy some smokes.
And the old lady at the store is like, yeah, this woman just got in here. And so there's lots of crazies out there. And so he inquires about it. And she kind of tells the story.
And
he's like,
call the cops. And they're asleep in their car.
Mm-hmm. And Mijin is trying to call her pimp. Mm-hmm. His phone, can't hear his phone because he's running. I don't know, man. Take a break and check your phone. So,
another tragedy of errors. More tragedy. Hilarious.
So I was gonna watch this movie with my wife. Mm-hmm. She got busy with something else and couldn't do it, but she'd never seen it before. But she's like, my wife is from South Korea, and she was like, "Oh, I don't know this movie, but there's one scene that's really famous, mm-hmm. and it's that convenience store scene."
Right. Well, yeah, she does kill her.
He kills the woman
because we think she's out. She's gonna mm-hmm. escape. She's got the daughter at home. Gonna be reunited, but just her luck. She runs into the guy and he actually kills her.
And he like misses her a couple times. Right. And he raises up the hammer. And you think the cop outside is going to shoot him or something, right?
You think at that moment there's going to be... The guy's going to rush in, uh-huh. tackle him, do whatever. Nope.
And it's a pretty brutal scene.
Yeah.
He's just like blood bringing the hammer down. Splattering. Blood everywhere.
Yeah, it looked like, you know, just all over the walls, all over him. Mm. You know. Yeah. Dexter.
Yeah. If you ever want to see a woman bludgeoned to death with a hammer, there's your scene.
Yeah, and that scene alone was so surprising.
Mm-hmm.
you know, that he didn't, that somebody didn't rush in, that she did die. Because you think, you know, at that moment, you think, well, she gets out, she's free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why would they tell the story if it doesn't have a happy ending, right?
It's like, well. Oh, well.
So then there's a, you know, obviously, there's a larger increase in police presence. They're like, you know, trying to find this person even more.
Right.
The detective figures out where this guy is. He went to a church, talked to his, anyway, yeah. Long, doesn't matter. Figures out where the guy lives. And another great, like, just a scene, just like choice, where he walks up, he's going to go ring the bell, and he's like, sits back and he waits. He's like, maybe I'll just try the key.
Yeah.
So he does the key, it unlocks, steps in face to face.
The guy's coming out the door.
So unclear where the guy was going, right? The guy's dressed up.
Yeah, he was going out.
Yeah,
he was going out. He was going to go out on the town.
Okay, I was thinking maybe like a church service or something. I wasn't sure.
That could have been.
I wasn't sure what it was. So anyway, so he comes out, and the guy starts running back into his place. Mm-hmm. You know, even though this guy's a young guy, he still is, I guess, physically outmatched by this cop.
Yeah, he's not a very good fighter.
Yeah, the cop's just straight beating his ass the whole movie.
Right.
And they get into this really drawn-out fight, which I didn't actually mind.
Yeah.
Because it seemed kind of realistic.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they're both, like, huffing.
Tired. Right? You know, taking swings, missing, or whatever. You know, it was like they actually had a fight on the set or something. But, you know, like a baseball fight or something.
And then when I get thrown to a fish tank, you're like, okay, that guy would be like probably cut to ribbons. But, right. Okay, yeah. we'll take it.
Anytime there's glass, tables, glass, something, yeah.
And there was a woman's face in the fish tank, which was an interesting touch.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, so then it you know, ends with that same pose, right? He's got the hammer ready to come down on the guy. And this time...
the cops come in
and stop him. He is saved, right?
Yeah.
So you're left wondering, was he going to kill him? I think absolutely.
Oh, absolutely he was going to kill him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he hesitates for a second.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's what we're supposed to see in him, is that he did have a good side, you know, but his bad side overwhelmed the good side.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, and he was, at the final moment there, he was raising that thing. He was going to let him have it.
Mm-hmm.
And the cops stopped him.
And then there's like a story with the kid. I was so checked out on that. Like,
yeah, I mean, that could have ended. It should have ended right there.
Mm-hmm.
The film should have ended with him and the cops coming in.
Him raising the hammer up?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
He might have still swung it, but stopped there. Freakin' would have stopped right there.
Freakin' would have done it differently. Yeah. You're
and
no
then,
freaking.
Yeah, then he goes back to the hospital to where the little girl was, because somehow she got killed or beat up or did something. They found her in an alley, you know. But yeah, there's a touching scene where they hold hands or something, and that's it, you know.
Yeah. One scene we didn't mention, which I did want to call out because I enjoyed it quite a lot, the killer is being interrogated, and they bring in this like psychologist guy.
Yeah, that was a great scene.
And he's like, so do you have a girlfriend? Have you ever had a girlfriend? And he's like, I think you're impotent. And the guy's like, no. Then like, he's like, you know, a couple of other questions. He's like, why do you think I'm impotent, by the way?
Yeah.
And the psychologist's like, because bastards like you usually are. Just like, and he's like this older guy, just like fearless, just right, like,
just,
like right in his face. Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, that was one of the best scenes in the movie. Oh. Yeah, because bastards like you generally are.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And all right, Matt, who do you think stole it?
The pimp.
You think the pimp?
Yeah, I think so.
I think the killer.
Yeah.
I think this is why I like it. I like the killer because I didn't realize he was the count in
Handmaid's Tale.
We keep saying that wrong. It's not the Handmaid's Tale. Is that like Hulu series?
Yeah. The Handmaiden.
I think it's the Handmaiden.
I think it's the Handmaiden. Great movie too.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, like seeing how different he was in those two roles, like I was very much impressed. Yeah, Handmaiden.
Okay.
Handmaiden. There's no tail.
Oh, they were both good. I mean, the together, the whole cat and mouse thing, really, because it was interesting. And the chase scenes were interesting and stuff like that.
So. Yeah, I mean, there's some parts of Seoul, like these old neighborhoods that are just like these curvy, like there's stairs everywhere. There's like these blind curves. Mm-hmm. It's just built for stuff like this.
Sort of like San Francisco in some parts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just
skinny streets and
100%
people parked everywhere. You know, you can't get through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's perfect. And again, no guns in this movie. Like, guns being illegal make it a whole different movie, right? Yeah, it's much more like brutal and like in your face.
Right, right. Yeah, there was not one gun in the movie.
No, because if the guy had a gun, he would have shot him from a distance, and that's it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He would have given him the old Popeye Doyle, and then be done with that. Yeah, be done with that.
Yeah. Oh, well, I enjoyed it. I thought it was. You know, I've enjoyed all the Korean movies we've seen.
Well,
some are better than others.
I tried to spare you the stinkers. I mean,
I'm sure there's millions of stinkers.
Like, we're not watching trying to think of one. Like, I watch all kinds of movies. There's like time travel, romance. I'm like, come on, what is this? Yeah. But try to veer towards the ones that I think you'll enjoy. Anything else you want to say about The Chaser, Matt?
No, it's worth seeing. It's really. It's very violent, but I didn't mind it. I thought it was real. It wasn't gratuitous. I thought it was part of the, you know, even the cops fighting and, you know, all that stuff. The worst cops in the world.
Like, I wonder how the Korean police force thinks about the way that they're portrayed on like film and TV. Because like they're portrayed as like either incompetent or just wholly corrupt or like insanely temperamental and violent. Like,
always yelling at each other, big brouhahas in the station houses and stuff. It's like,
But this is, at least in this movie, there was like a consequence to that. You know what I mean? Right. It wasn't just like they beat the hell out of the prisoner and then they moved on.
Right.
It's like, no, actually you can't do that. Both these movies are very, gripping. Like, there's no lulls. You're never like, I'll pause this for a while and go to something else. No, it's just like, I'll sit here and watch the whole thing.
Have you seen any of the director's other movies?
Let me pull him up real quick.
The Yellow Sea. Oh, he's a writer.
Hong-jin. I don't know. Like, my knowledge of Korean directors is not super strong. The Wailing. Is that a horror movie?
They like their whole their horror movies over there, don't they?
No, that's not what I was thinking of.
Boys in it, though.
Who's that? Jung Min Hwang?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably watch it eventually. I'll watch anything that dude's in.
Yeah.
I don't know this guy. I don't know his stuff. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, Matt, you want to get some scores?
All right, I'll say...
Well, hold on. Let me tell you how many people are here. We got 65,000.
I go 7.6.
You went low. Oh. You forgot about the K-pop army.
Oh, yeah.
7.8.
Wow.
Pretty high.
Yeah, pretty high.
I don't know that it's better than the French Connection.
I don't think it is. Not a score-wise.
Right.
I don't think so. Yeah. I think the French Connection is better. But
I would agree. I would say 7.4,
7.5,
probably pretty.
Right around a Scarecrow, maybe. A little higher than a Scarecrow.
Yeah. I mean, because this movie, once that convenience store scene happens, it gets like another level to it. Right. You know, like, so I don't know. It has that little extra oomph to it that I liked.
And then the ending is bad. The
ending sucked. Yeah. And it was just uninteresting. All right, Matt, what do you think about Rotten Tomatoes? Tomato meter, 34 reviews.
8.4?
82.
Oh, 82. But I think the other one will be 87. I think the audience score.
89. Yep. Okay. Yeah, only 5,000 people rated it. I forgot to do this for the French Connection, but here's the critics' consensus. A frantic and taut Korean serial killer thriller. One classy, if bloody and messy, gut-wrencher of a movie.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
I mean, that scene where the prostitute gets killed is just like, oh my God.
Yeah. But even the scene where she first, I mean, yeah, that, right, that's bloody and messy and like, you know, maybe anyone could do that. But the scene where she walks in the house is also pretty gripping. It's gripping. Like, what is going on?
Right.
And even you know something's bad's going to happen, but it's like, how is it
going to happen? How and how bad?
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, Matt. So next week, our theme is international drug crimes.
Yeah, like, I guess so.
prison for drugs is the...
Yeah, with Midnight Express.
Yeah, and I'll have you watch the Vince Vaughn classic,
okay,
Return to Paradise.
All right.
All right, get out of here.
Yep.
Peace. Bye.
A Philistine.
What's a Philistine?
It's a guy who doesn't care about books or interesting films and things.
Then I'm a Philistine.
No, you're interested in books and things.
No, I'm a Philistine.
You've been shitting in my yard.
I have not.
You want me to hold the chicken, huh?
I want you to hold it between your knees.
So, Jane, what you do here in effect is count boners.
It's fun.